Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is the interview segment, the pieces of advice segment, and this is between 8:30 and 9. And you know, on a Friday Jummah, we have Mufti Akusab, Mufti Muhammad Akusab of Newcastle. Let's welcome our guest. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Zaid Saab, how are you, all well?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Saab doing?
No, Allah is karam and Allah has blessed us. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah gives us to appreciate this ni'mah of Allah being here and welcoming guests from all over the world. What a favor of Allah. Allah has blessed us with. I'm just remembering what Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam when he asked Allah, Allah kayfa ashkuruka wa shukri laka ni'mah. Oh Allah, how do I appreciate you when the ability to thank you and the realization of making shukr only comes from you? So where does the shukr start, oh my Allah? And Allah says to his Nabi of Allah, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifa. Allah says to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-an shakartani. Oh Dawood alayhi salam, that is where shukr starts. It's such an amazing ni'mah to see so many amazing righteous people from far and wide. May Allah Ta'ala give us, may Allah always give us opportunities like this to learn and benefit from the righteous people. It's great ulama from far and wide, from Raiwind, from India. Then there's Jamaat from Detroit and from Zambia, Zimbabwe. So many other areas, Jamaat will be coming also from Hijaz-e-Muqaddas, Makkah Mukarrama. And just to welcome these people and be in their company and learn from them is such a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And, so what can I say? Allah give us tawfiq to make shukr for this bounty. And you make dua for us. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. We appreciate that in the midst of all of this, Mufti Saab is taking out time for us. Mufti Saab, what's the scenes like? And also another question, which seniors are there?
Who's here is it? Hazrat Maulana Ibadullah Sahab, who is from Raiwind and is a very, very senior there, alhamdulillah, and his explanation of deen and the effort of deen is so amazing, alhamdulillah. And then besides that, there is some elders from India as well that they came in yesterday where they went to rest and I didn't get a chance to sit with them, but basically that's what I know. And our elders from the Marakis, yeah, alhamdulillah, from South Africa, Allah bless them all.
Ameen.
They all are here.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah.
So,
from Joburg Markaz, from Cape Town, from Durban, alhamdulillah, Allah bless them. What senior people who have dedicated and devoted their lives. You know, some of them, like Haji Abdul Samad, would be more than 80 years old, you know, mid-80s. And dedication, Allah give us all tawfiq to serve His deen till our last breath.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah.
So, Mufti Saab, last week we said the ijtima actually ended now. Because today it's ending.
Yes, that's true.
For the people who are there, when it's starting? Is it by Jummah time it's starting?
Ji. It starts at Jummah. Alhamdulillah, there were programs this morning also by our elders. Because when they're around, then there's so much to learn from. But the main ijtima officially starts at Jummah. And it's so interesting. It's not like any other system where another system you would know who's going to present. It's all on Mashura. And basically, they make a Mashura and they discuss who should do all the programs. And they discuss today's program. And then probably at night again, they would sit in Mashura and they would discuss the next day's program. Alhamdulillah. And according to how the Mashura decides, that's how the Faisal or the Amir of you know, for that month or for that week would decide. It's such an amazing system. It's a reminder of the system of Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's just so beautiful, alhamdulillah, to see. And they don't stop anybody. Anybody wants to sit for the Mashura is welcome. And that's also the sunnah of Masjid al-Nabawi. Anyone could sit in the expedition of Khandaq. Allahu Akbar. Actually, whose opinion was taken when it came to Khandaq? It was Hazrat Salman Farisi radiallahu anhu's opinion. Alhamdulillah. His view was to dig the trench. And he had just embraced Islam before that, but he was still enslaved by his Jewish master. And he just got free. Alhamdulillah. And that's how and even though he was just freed, he came into the masjid and he was part of the mashura, and his opinion was heard and it was enacted where they dug the trenches and so forth. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And that's also another dimension. Like, if I ask Mufti Saab, how many people is Newcastle expecting? There wouldn't be even an estimate, because you don't know how many people are going to come all of a sudden.
You never know. Allah make it, inshallah, 20,000, 30,000. Allah does, man. Allah does.
But that's,
Allah will bring the people, alhamdulillah, and He is in control, alhamdulillah.
And normally for a big event like this, you need to have organized people, and they are positioned in certain places, doing this. But this is ultimately something that is just, it operates with Allah's will, and Allah's assistance is there, that every person comes. In fact, here, when we had the Ijtima here in Lens, the Saturday night, the main Saturday night, there was a flood. And Mufti Saab, I think you were here also.
Yes. So, Allah.
That Saturday, which they expected, was they didn't expect much people. That a lot of people still came in, and then the next day also, it was amazing to see so many people. But the least time which they expected people to come in, that's when people were just storming in. And alhamdulillah, you see all of this here. It just motivates
us. The weather is so amazing, alhamdulillah, warm and comfortable. It's all Allah's mercy. Even last week, this main aspect of this Mubarak work is to teach us to turn to Allah all the time. You know, there's a hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, his a'mal, his akhlaq, his teachings are such. Hazrat Hudhayfah's hadith. إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزَعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Any situation, any challenge, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hasten towards salah. He would turn to Allah. So that's what, even last week when there was strong winds with Dhariyati Dharwa, and the reminder was again and again, turn to Allah. Allah is going to help. Allah is the controller. Allah is the doer. And subhanAllah, amazing weather. And alhamdulillah. And also, we're waiting for yourself and our brother Bonface and all our Saad brothers there, inshallah. We're waiting for you. Just tell me when you're arriving. And we're going to make your khidmah, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mufti AK Saab should be there. I think today
will be there. He's around. We met him, alhamdulillah. We attended his program yesterday also. We benefited so much from his company. And he came especially for the Ijtima, and then he arranged a few programs in the surrounding areas also, because he's a man who never wastes his time, you know, mashallah. He wants to just get maximum out there to benefit the Ummah. Allah Ta'ala accept, alhamdulillah.
Ameen.
We were with him yesterday, and he'll be coming today also, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mufti Saab, now coming to the events, historical events of Safar, Mufti Saab can share with us a few, inshallah.
Jee, no, jazakallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Ummi. Now, this is a month which, in our Islamic calendar, very interesting events happened. One was very tragic. But let's draw some lessons from there. It happened in Safar, the fourth year after Hijrah. Two events that happened that were catastrophes upon the Muslims. The first one was an incident called Raji'. And what happened there was, Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent 10 sahaba out in the path of Allah. And the Amir was Hazrat Asim bin Thabit, radiallahu anhu. They reached an area called Raji'. And there, the people of that area betrayed them. And that was a tribe from the Huveil people, Huveil. They betrayed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum treacherously. And so to be specific, the tribe was Banu Lihyan from Huveil. And they surrounded the Sahaba. Sahaba were 10. And they surrounded the Sahaba and they started shooting arrows at them, instructing the Sahaba to step down. So first they thought whether they should. Despite the Sahaba stepping down, they still were handling the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. Then they realized that we have to defend ourselves. And then the Sahaba fought back. And then the Mushrikeen killed 7 of this Jamaat of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. 3 were left. The 3 that were left were Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi, radiallahu anhu, then Zayd bin Dathina, radiallahu anhu, and the 3rd was Abdullah bin Tariq, radiallahu anhu. What happened there was, when they were bringing down Abdullah bin Tariq, they also thereafter killed him too. Anyway, when they killed Asim, radiallahu anhu, someone had taken a vow after Uhud that she will drink sulafa. She will drink wine from the skull of Asim, radiallahu anhu. Anyway, a certain tribe wanted the body to sever the head of Hazrat Asim, to sell him to this family or to this woman. And Allahu Akbar, as they approached his body, Allah sent wasps and hornets from way, Allahu Akbar, that surrounded his body. And as they would approach, it would sting them all over until they realized that we can't do anything. Then they ran away. They lodged at some distance watching the body, because they said, okay, let's come back at night. Because then by that time, the hornets and the wasps and the bees would have deserted and departed. And Allah then sent floods that then carried his body and preserved him. Interesting is when Hazrat Umar bin Khattab heard this kar guzari, this report back of the incident of this sahabi, radiallahu anhu, he was elated and he was making so much of shukr. And he said, look at how Allah preserves the body of a mu'min even after he passes on. So Allah is showing us, sometimes they do something to the body, Allah knows best. Sometimes Allah protects the body, Allah knows best. But Allah is the doer. And imagine Sahaba's Mubarak bodies, Allahu Akbar. Even the incidents of Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu, where the grave was exhumed and excavated, the body was exhumed, the grave was excavated 40 years later. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram and Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh's bodies were totally intact because they were transferring the bodies into another grave because Hazrat Muawiyah was digging a canal for the service of people and that was the route. So here also Hazrat Umar was elated by the kar guzari. But anyway, what happened to the other two? They were then escorted into Makkah, obviously with torture, and they were disrespected and they were taken into Makkah. When they were taken into Makkah, they were detained in two different cells under the supervision of two different families. And Allahu Akbar, when they detained the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there's amazing events of both of them. For example, Hazrat Khubayb was in one home, and while he was there, he knew they were going to kill him. So he asked for a blade to clean himself. Under the arm, pubic areas. And obviously he was in that cell tied to a pillar. And the one day, somehow the door was left open and the child crawled in. So he sees this little child and he lovingly speaks to the child. Sahaba would teach children, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And subhanAllah, as the Sahabi is there and her child is also there, she gets worried. Where's her child? She rushes to find that the child is right there on the Sahabi's lap. And she is shocked. And he saw the fear on her face when she rushes there. So he says to her, "But what is there to worry about? I can never harm your child." See the akhlaq of Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu. He knows they're going to kill him. He would never take revenge upon them through this child. This is the beauty of Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum. And this is the akhlaq of deen. Muslims are very patient and tolerant. They'll never harm innocent people. Yes, a Muslim must learn to defend himself. That's very, very important. Alhamdulillah. And stand up for our rights. That's very important. There's an amazing hadith of Abu al-Mukhariq radiallahu anhu, where he says, a man asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man barges into my home, what do I do? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine, deen even teaches us that someone barges into our home. That's a perpetration, a violation a man has done. Barging with harm to steal and usurp the rights of another person. Totally taboo. But Sahaba asked, what do we do in that scenario? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remind the perpetrator about Allah. Now imagine, my respected ummah, who would at that moment in time think about inviting a person to Allah? That man got a weapon aiming at you, interrogating you. At that moment, what is the person thinking about? But imagine how much of love must we have for Allah. Allah save us all from such scenarios. Speaking about it is easy. Allah help us all.
Ameen.
That he reacts in this moment to say, that don't you fear the Almighty Allah, who created you and who created me, and the one day we're going to stand before him, brother. Don't do such a thing. We're all going to die. Let's make right with our Creator. There is hope. And imagine, that man could change. Then Sahaba asked, if he doesn't abide and desist, then what you do is you take assistance from other Muslims, and in the context it can also mean other good people, and fight back. Oh Allah's Nabi, if there's no one to help me, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then you defend yourself. Because then there's another hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the one who dies defending his property, his family, is a shaheed. If this happens to you and you defend yourself, and you die, you shaheed. And if you kill him, there's nothing against you because he was harming you. You were defending yourself. So how amazing is the sharia that even this aspect is covered. But look at akhlaq. Sahaba, he's not taking revenge upon them in the form of this child. So he says to her, how can I do this? Imagine what an impact this had on them. That's why you get these organizations that go and just kill innocent people and things like that. That is definitely a foil and a plot of the forces of batil to make Islam look bad. Sahaba radiallahu anhum protected the lives of people. So here, she was so amazed, and then she says later on, I've never seen a captive like Khubayb. وَكَانَتْ قَدْ أَسْلَمَتْ. Her name was Mawiyah radiallahu anha. So you get Mariyah, but one report says Mariyah, and the other historical report says Mawiyah with a wow. Anyway, she had embraced Islam and she was giving this car guzari. She says, where I was, while Khubayb was detained, and I saw him. He had a bunch of grapes eating from it. And he was detained in the cell, tied to a pillar. There was no grapes, not even in season. You couldn't find a bunch of grapes in Makkah. وَمَا أَعْلَمُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فِي أَرْضِ اللَّهِ عِنَبًا يُوْكَلْ. At that time, where there was grapes in Makkah, she says. And then this incident where, Ya Allah, she sees this and his akhlaq. All this was her inspiration to embrace Islam. Sahaba's situations also was a means of people's hidayat. Sahaba gave dawat in all situations. Har hal mein sahaba dawat dete the. In every situation, in every condition, sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum gave dawat. Anyway, then they took Khubayb out of the haram to hang him, to crucify him, crucifix him. So he said to them, would you leave me for a little while to pray two raka'at? He said, do so. Duna kafarka. He performed these two raka'at, two beautiful raka'at. And analyzing Sahaba's lives, even those raka'at, in Sahaba's intention, if you analyze Sahaba's lives, you would see that their salah also was so beautiful. Their salah was the means of people's hidayat. Allah. Their salah was the means. Just this morning, I was just trying to prepare something, and I'm reading about the Sahabi Abu Mahdura Aus. He says, we were mocking the adhan. We heard after Hunain, the Sahaba giving the adhan, and my friends and I are mocking the adhan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba to call us. This Sahabi also said, I detested him. I didn't want to see him. Because of what they used to hear, rumors, negative, false rumors against the truth. But when they were brought before the Nabi of Allah, he spoke to us. And he said to us, who was calling in that way? And they all were mocking the adhan. And how do we react to someone mocking? Do we say, look at these people, what they're doing? And we start ranting and raving and screaming and shouting. Or do we also blame ourselves and bear the brunt of it sometimes to say, yes, they're doing this, but did anybody ever teach them better? Did anybody teach them who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We haven't even taught our staff up to today why we eat with the right hand and why we wash with the left hand. And after that, how we wash our hands because excrement and urine is full of feces, germs. Simple, simple things we can't take up. We just got barked over in dunya from appointment to appointment, from worldly responsibility to another, running from here to there, sometimes from holiday. A man is prepared to travel thousands of kilometers for one property. He's prepared to travel to the other side of the world for holiday, for merrymaking, for sport. Ask a man a few days in the way of Allah. Not prepared whatsoever. Not prepared to make a move for Allah. Not prepared to come out of our comfort zone. No, we're too comfortable in our arena. We're too comfortable in our own beds. What's going to happen tomorrow in that grave? The first night in the grave, what's going to happen to us in that dark night? Deep down in that grave, how are we going to manage? But qabar mein almari nahi, kafan mein jeb nahi, farishta rishwat nahi lete. In the grave, there's no cupboards, there's no shelves. In the kafan, there's no pockets. And these malaika of Allah are not prepared to take a bribe whatsoever. We are not prepared to come out of our comfort zone. This Mubarak work is to teach us that make some sacrifice for Allah. Make a change. Think about it. Leave. One is the man's going to die. If we die, the next, all our appointments that we had, our companies, our endeavors, our entrepreneurs, our all of that comes to an end. Finish. Okay, that's one example. While you are sitting, respected Ummah, think about it. One is death. We all can die. You and I don't even know if this interview is going to finish. The other scenario, let's say we get afflicted with paralysis. A man is paralyzed on the spot. Heart attack. The next months of appointments all canceled. Why? He's worried about his health. Rightfully so. What about our akhirah? What about making some change, shuffling our agenda, our work, our schedules for Allah's pleasure, for Allah's sake? And how about putting Allah first? One of our elders was saying so beautifully, Haji Yusuf, not long ago he was here in the path of Allah. Allah reward them. Even they arrived, mashallah, Allah reward them. He was telling us about this specialist, heart specialist, in Pakistan, when Haji Abdul Wahab Saab was sending a Jamaat some years ago to South Africa, and he told the Jamaat, go meet this one specialist. He speaks good English, and he's a good person. Make fikr on him. Take him with you. They're thinking, now where are we going to meet that specialist? They went at the reception. That person at the counter said, where are you going to meet this man? He's so busy. He doesn't have 5 minutes for himself. He's one of seven specialists of this kind in the world. Anyway, they were even prepared to pay, but they needed an emergency appointment, and they paid, and they went to meet this man. He's asking them, what's the situation? They said that we came to meet you for this and this reason. He says, why are you wasting my time? There's so many patients waiting for me. What is wrong with you all? How can I? For the next 7 months, my appointments, my schedule is fully jam-packed. An impossibility. What you all are saying is not possible whatsoever. Anyway, these brothers don't give up. You know, they went to the masjid, they made dua, they gave sadaqah on his behalf, they fasted on his behalf. Who will do this for one person's hidayat? Anyway, Allah make it easy for one and all. This brother was saying to Haji Yusuf, he was saying that when he came, finally he came, he says, what happened then was it was my son's 20th birthday. And it was the same day he had his checkup because he had a leak in his heart. But look at Allah's qudrat. Allah is showing us that a man can be the best heart specialist in the world, but he can't cure his own son. This is life. Allah shows us. The man who mastered the heart, his own son has a leak in the heart. Allah is showing us that none of us are infallible. Every one of us are weak, kamzor, makhluq, and in need of Allah. One Allah alone is independent, and He owns everything, and He controls everything, and He possesses everything. Allah says in the Quran, whoever you turn to besides Allah, مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قِطْمِيرٍ, leave any ownership, possession, authority, grandeur, greatness. Allah says, not the date seed, not the date after you eat the date. Try it now. Then there's a seed. On the seed, if you scratch it, especially in a fresh date, this is a clear example. You scratch it and a light membrane comes out, has no color, no taste, no weight. That is qitmir. Allah says, whoever you turn to besides Allah does not even possess qitmir. Allah says, why are we turning to makhluk? Makhluk se kuch nahi hota. Makhluk can't do. One Allah is doing. Anyway, this man's son arrived at the appointment. He knows his father is particular about time. He parks his car. He rushes across the road. A bus at speed, high speed, bashes into him, crushes into him, knocks him. He falls bodily, body badly damaged. He's on his deathbed. Intestines also leaking out. They rush him into the ward. and his father is notified, he rushes, he sees his son in Sakaratul Maut, his son is dying. He says, there's no hope, now my child is gone. He sees the fina coming out of his mouth, and he's saying to him, my child, just say kalima, la ilaha illallah, just say kalima, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. He's saying, so many died at my hands, most don't even say the kalima. Now I'm trying to get my own child to say the kalima. He says, my child is saying, father, abba, gari ban nahi, gari mein saman hai, this valuable saman in my car, car is not locked, tell my father, car is not locked. And in that he dies. This father breaks into tears. One is he lost his child. The other is he couldn't get his own child to read kalima. Now he sees his own reality in front of him. That yes, we can be the best in this worldly standard. What is our guarantee that we can leave this world with kalima? And that was the means of him changing his life. This Mubarak work is to teach us one important lesson. That Allah ke liye aage piche karna. For Allah's sake, reshuffle our schedule sometimes. And actually Allah give us tawfiq to do it all the time. Do our other responsibilities. Put Allah first in the equation. And let me finish with this verse. Allah says in Surah Yasin, we read it this morning, Inna nahnu nuhyil mawta, Inna nahnu nuhyil mawta, Wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa atharahum. Allah says we give life to the dead and we document and write. Meaning Allah orders the angels to write ma qaddamu, what they invest for the akhirah. But let me give you another meaning. Ma qaddamu, when they make Allah their priority. What is, sometimes the person makes all his ibadat, but who is priority and what is priority in his life? Allah says, who we make priority is also documented. Wa atharahum, and what legacy they leave in this world, and atharahum, their footprints and their steps in the path of Allah is also written down. That's why the next incident in Surah Yasin is about a man who walks from the outskirts of the city into the city to call the people to support the Anbiya alayhi salam. And this is why we are requesting you from all over, mashallah. We're not telling you to walk from far, jump in your beautiful cars. It will just take you a few hours. You would do it for any other occasion. We will do it for weddings. We'll do it for everything else. This is for Allah's sake. Don't make excuses. Come, my respected Ummah. March straight to the Ijtima, inshallah. Get into your beautiful vehicles. We've got lovely parking for you here. And come straight to the Ijtima, mashallah. Allah give us tawfiq to make your khidmah. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib. Good, brilliant tashkil, mashallah. You got us inspired now, inshallah. So, we'll expect.
We're waiting for you, Mawlana.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.